So don't doubt the power of prayer and faith. I know that we've had this long season of Psalms for our summer road trip. And when Don and I were first talking about me preaching today, I told him I have a different idea. So we're taking a little side trip off of Psalms. You'll go back next week, I think, to Psalms before. So something happened recently that I felt God push me in that different direction away from Psalms. And we had a discussion in men's group on an early Friday morning, which pushed me a little farther. And I'm talking about the latest school shooting in Minneapolis. And it wasn't so much the shooting itself, as horrendous and heart-wrenching and horrible that it was. No, it was something that the mayor of the city said. And he said it in a statement that he made right after the shooting. The first statement he made. But I think first I want to share who Mayor Jacob Frey is as a person. Very briefly, I didn't study him. But he is a Reformed Jew. And he attends temple with his wife and his two children. But he said, and this is his quote, "The moral imperative outlined by the Tikkun Olam is something I believe in strongly, and it is foundational both to Judaism and also to my philosophy in government." Now, I'm not a scholar in or about the Judaic principle Tikkun Olam, but it's framed something like this: the human responsibility to partner with God in repairing, perfecting, and improving the world. They translate repairing the world. This concept is viewed by many contemporary Jewish movements as an ethical call to social action and the pursuit of justice. In the 20th century, particularly after the Holocaust, Jewish thinkers started to reevaluate the human-God relationship. And they placed greater emphasis on the human part, the actively rebuilding a shattered world by human efforts. Now, I give that brief discussion or description of his philosophy so that we know a little bit more about what he was saying when he said what he said. So, George, do you have the video? Sorry, Mike, mission flight's going to fly away.
These were Minneapolis families. These were American families. And the amount of pain that they are suffering right now is extraordinary. And don't just say this is about thoughts and prayers right now. These kids were literally praying. It was the first week of school. They were in a church. These are kids that should be learning with their friends. They should be playing on the playground. They should be able to go to school or church in peace without the fear or risk of violence, and their parents should have the same kind of assurance. These are the sort of basic assurances that every family should have every step of the day, regardless of where they are in our country. I'm so deeply saddened and I'm so sorry to the families that I know are suffering right now.
I'm not blaming him for saying something wrong. It was at the spur of the moment. It was at the right after the shooting occurred. And he did tone it down a little later and change it. But what can we take from that small statement that he made? It's not just your thoughts and prayers that matter. I was struck by that one line. My ears heard it, my mind thought about it, and my heart ached about it. I was, if you will allow it, convicted to talk about it. Now, I admit that my thoughts were scattered and a little all over the place, and I realized that I was writing or hearing and writing all of it together. It wasn't cohesive. And I actually believe God was giving me food for more than one message to go in different directions. So I continued to pray, and I continued to listen for more direction. What did God want me to say about that statement? And finally, as it usually happens, early one morning, and this was Wednesday, I think, as I lay in bed, the thoughts really started coming into my head. So I got up, opened my phone, yes, I have a foldable phone, and I started putting down and writing and rehashing and rewriting and discussing it with others, and I realized it came down to the words I heard, which started focusing my path to today. It's not just your thoughts and prayers that matter. It just stuck in my head. How could he say such a thing? What does that statement say, not just about him, but about our nation, the state of our nation? Prayers are not what we need right now. Nope. Forget about asking God. Let's put our faith in humanity and fix the problem. I say the first thing we should do is pray. Put our faith in God to do what he does, to work all things out for good. Putting our faith in humanity puts our faith in the very place where the problem came from. Humanity. Putting our faith in God, as we'll see, I hope, may very well end up bringing us to that point of the partnering up with God to help fix a problem. But how do we get there? Start prayer. And prayer is such a very vast subject, very broad, and perhaps even so broad as to give a whole sermon series on it. But to start, maybe we take a look at how we approach God or how we view God in today's society. Not just us, but the nation as a whole. How are we viewing God? That will help us approach him in prayer, if we even pray. And we can start with that one very basic view of a lot of people, and hopefully not one of you in here, but there is no God. There's no concrete evidence of God, so I don't believe. The view of the no God believers, see, they still believe, they just believe that there's no God, is that people make what happens, and we'll solve the world's problems. I'll take care of things myself. This view leads us to a place that when things get bad, there's really no hope. We accept things and move on. As for prayer, there's no commitment to prayer for the no God people. They won't rely on something they can't see, they can't feel, they can't hear or touch. But there's another group of people. I believe there's some power out there, but God? I don't know. Now, these people tend to approach the world in a philosophical or spiritual way. but they don't accept that there is an all-powerful being who created the world or to whom we should give praise and obey. Nope. Some are pantheists. They believe in all these different gods that control different things that go on in our lives. There may be prayer once in a while for this group, but are they praying to God, the capital G God, or a God? One of many. Or there's a view that I believe in God and I've read about this thing called the way, but I choose not to follow it. I can't. It's easier to conform to the ways of this world, not the kingdom world, not the way. And I'm afraid that if people find out I follow God or I pray to God to guide me through my life, I'll be ostracized. People won't like me. As for prayer, there may be some, but with baby steps and some encouraging from those who truly believe, faith will grow and transformation can begin. Another group. I believe in God, but he isn't here. He's far away and he doesn't care. Look at the condition of the world. Why would I spend my time in prayer to someone who doesn't care about us? He's not doing anything to help me or to help us. I'd just be taking time out of my busy, hectic schedule to talk with some never-present being. Why would I sacrifice my time for that? Maybe there's the quick praying for you. It's thrown out here and there. No follow-up. Praying for you. That prayer, without more, is said at the person, not to God. But now, what happens when we can say, I believe in God, he's here, he cares, and he's working his will for good? We've come to understand that God answers prayers even if not in the way we want or the way we think he will or should. Or maybe he won't answer it for a long time, even after we're gone from this earthly part of our journey. But we accept that and we pray. We pray often. We pray with conviction. We pray with faith. Faith in God's omniscient wisdom and omnipotent power to set the world right in his way. Now, we don't know what the mayor's prayer life is, but the fact that he follows the Tikkun Olam suggests that he has more faith in humanity than in God. And while we understand the sentiment it is wanting us to, humans, to go out and do something about an evil which has crept into the world, evil is created by sin and man and is the opposite of good. And what? God is the highest example of good, and good defeats evil. So we should pray for God for his mighty goodness to defeat this evil in our world. So what's faith got to do with it? And when I wrote that down and kept repeating it, I kept singing the song. What's faith got to do with anybody? No, never mind. How does faith fit into our prayer life? Well, faith, it sets that foundation upon which real communication with God can occur. It communicates to God that we believe that what we petition for, God will answer. How much faith do we need? And you all know the answer to that one. We talked, or I read what Mark said, but Matthew, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And as we read at the beginning, Mark says it a little differently, or writes down what Jesus said a little different. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I like how Mark reminds us to believe when we pray, to have faith in what we are, or what God is going to do with our prayers. Our prayer is asking God through Jesus or in Jesus to move that mountain. We're not asking to give us the power to move the mountain. We can't do that. God does that. And he actually may not physically move the mountain. He's not going to move it out of the way, but he may help you to climb to the top. He may help you tunnel underneath it. He may help you walk around it. And guess what? The mountain's no longer in our way. We may not even realize that God has answered that prayer until afterwards. You go through this mountain, we go over the mountain, it's a hard trek, it's a long trek. But God made it happen that the mountain didn't seem like a mountain anymore. Sometimes it's the outcomes that make us realize that God answered a prayer. Sometimes we get discouraged and God doesn't seem to answer our prayer. And sometimes he may not. And then doubt creeps in, even for the most fervent believer. So Mark, again, at 9:17 to 29, gives us a great example of Jesus' teachings about believing. It's a little bit longer, but a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth, and Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." If you can, Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief." Okay. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifting him up to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer. Everything is possible for the one who believes. This kind can come out only by prayer." Think about this young man who went into a church with a gun and started shooting children, or probably anybody who got in the way. Demon-possessed, perhaps. A result of today's humanity, perhaps. We couldn't do anything to stop it, so the mayor decided, "We don't need your prayers and your thoughts. We need to do something." Everything is possible for the one who believes. This kind can come out only by prayer. Powerful admonitions by Christ himself. Pray. Believe. The apostles still had not learned from Jesus and all his teachings and examples. But the Father's plea, "I believe, help me overcome my unbelief," is just as powerful. There are times we all have doubts, but we cannot give up on our faith. We must have faith in what Jesus teaches us. In our everyday lives, many of us think we can have everything under control, and we don't think about God and how he's guiding us. We forget. We simply forget. We don't keep the faith. Then something awful happens, and we run to God pleading for an answer, begging him, "Make it stop." Or there are times we're asking for the wrong thing, something not in God's will. Perhaps we should go to God and share with him the terrible thing we are experiencing and ask him not to fix it, but ask him, "God, what is your will with this impediment in my life?" And he may very well reveal it to you. And when we pray, God may answer us by pointing us in a completely different direction that forces us to change, to do not what we think God wants or how we want God to react. He may want you to realize that you can't change the world, but you can possibly change yourself or help change the heart of someone else who will then in turn change someone else's heart, and so forth and so on. God may send you to the needy to help, to the sick to nurture, to the imprisoned to visit. Pray big, yeah. But be ready for that answer that may seem so much smaller than what you asked God to do. God may bring you into the solution to make a sacrifice of your time, your money. Perhaps that is why sometimes we even avoid praying. We don't want to hear God's answer that we're going to have to sacrifice here, that our prayer ends up a sacrifice, or being, that the answer to our prayer ends up being our sacrifice to help to solve a big problem, and we're doing this little one. But when we say our prayers, many times we stop. We say our prayer, we stop, we don't wait. We don't listen. Prayer is communication, and communication assumes a two-way dialogue. When we make a phone call to a friend and present them with something that's bothering us, do we tell them what the problem is and hang up? Or do we wait for a response, for what they can tell us that might help us? Don't do that to God. Don't hang up. Listen. Hear His response. Look for His response. He will answer you. But you have to listen. I'm included in the you, by the way. Now, one of the greatest prophets, a man whose faith was credited as righteousness, is Elijah. And most of you probably know his story. It's in Kings. I get these very vivid images in my mind when I read about Elijah, proving that the God of Israel, Yahweh, was more powerful than Baal. Baal, the god the Canaanites worshipped. There was a famine and a drought, and it had been around for some time. So Elijah challenged the prophets of Carmel, who were worshiping Baal, to build two pyres of wood and bring two bulls to burn in sacrifice. One they would do, one he would do, or so he said. But it wasn't him or them. It was the god Baal and God. And he said, "You guys go first." And he asked them to call on their god to light the fire. And so they danced and they shouted from early in the morning till night. Guess what? Nothing. Didn't happen. No fire, no sacrificed bull. But then Elijah took his turn to go to God and prove that God was more powerful and the most powerful God. He told his servants, "Pour water all over the pyre, the wood, all over the bull to be sacrificed. Pour water on a fire you want to start and see if you can start it." Then he stood forward and he prayed to the Lord. "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." The fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, all the wood, burned up the bull. The people's hearts were turned back to the Lord. Would that we all had the faith of Elijah. Pray knowing your faith, no matter how big or how small, can burn that pyre down. But we must remember that when we are praying, we should understand that when God answers, it will be an answer that is in His will, not ours. Brought a little something with me today. Every salesman has a little thing. Nothing. So Somebody asked me if Robin Williams was in here, and I wish he was still alive and could be in there. But God is not a genie in the lamp. We don't go to God and just say, give me everything I want, my whims, my fancies. Give me it all. I have faith in you, God. I believe you can give me that yacht. That's not exactly what God wants. Remember, we said earlier, pray to God to find out what his will is in your life. And pray for that. Because God's working for good. This? You only get three with this one. God's unending. Unending in his faithfulness. But I think the greatest example of doing what, or praying for what's in God's will, is Jesus. Jesus, in his last prayer at Gethsemane before the cross, alone on his knees, sweating blood, Jesus, the man, had to be scared. Perhaps he's having doubts. But Matthew tells us at 26:39 what Jesus prayed. My Father, if it is possible, wait, didn't that what the old man said? If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. To the end, Jesus prayed for and worked towards God's will. If the worship team would make their way up to the stage for the closing worship, and then when that starts, the prayer team can come up, and I don't know how many of you there are, but take a corner or a back. But as they're getting ready, I'd like us all to reflect on some things. When do you give time over to God to pray and communicate with him? Do you take time every day to pray? Do you pray the big prayers? Do you listen for God's response? God is here. God is listening. God knows your heart. And God does all for good. Don't stop praying, thinking we can change the world on our own. First to God. Then, armed with what God reveals through our prayers, you, a single individual, with faith that God will act and answer the prayer, can help spread the hope that comes only through faith in God's goodness.